KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
Oh, yes, indeed. It is time once again for another edition of Happy Trails. Today, we turn our gaze to Oryk. We haven't been there yet on Happy Trails. Joining me, of course, we have Emily Sinkhorn. And we're also going to be talking with Allison Purnell. She's the project manager of local government commission there. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Indeed.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning. All righty. So, Oryk. We haven't looked at Oryk yet. Right, Emily?
Yeah, maybe we've discussed some trail planning through Oryk as part of the coastal trail plan. But
we never focused on Oryk.
Yeah, no, this is great.
Yeah, it's great. In fact, I was just there, spent my vacation near there. Out at Prairie Creek Redwoods, and it's a lovely spot. And so Allison, what's going on there? There is this plan that I guess Caltrain has put together, right?
Yeah, Caltrain's funded a plan. We actually worked with the Oryk Community Services District and Oryk Economic Development Corporation and the County of Humboldt to submit a grant application probably about 3 years ago now. We got the project funded through a community-based transportation planning grant program to involve the community in coming up with a plan that's going to help to improve Oryk's sense of place as a gateway community to Redwood National and State Parks. And so the plan looks at the transportation infrastructure, which is, say, the highway going through Oryk, and like many of our communities on the North Coast, it's got that issue of highway as Main Street, which is a benefit, and it also comes with its challenges, especially when you're talking about non-motorized roadway users like equestrians, pedestrians, and bicyclists. And so we were looking at a multimodal plan to improve that corridor through Oryk, and through a really intensive public process that we can talk a little bit about. We developed a simple plan that has sort of a brighter and safer future.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're speaking our language, multimodal. You get our ears pricked up there with that one right there. That's what we're looking at for the whole county.
Excellent.
So what were some of the main concerns that Oryk residents had? I'm just, even thinking about the Oryk school being on the east side of 101, but, most of the residences are either on the west side or even past the river. What are some other issues that really came up for people?
Well, there's a whole bunch of safety issues, Emily, and one of the things that we looked at, and I think one of the reasons why this project got funded through the grant, is that the accident rate is 2.5 to 3 times higher than similar roadways of its type. And that most of, a large majority of the accidents in Oryk are single vehicle accidents, which is, it just calls into question, like, what's going on there? These aren't cars that are hitting each other. They're cars that are hitting objects or running off the roadway. And is it weather conditions? Is it lack of good lighting? Is it, impaired motorists? And so we thought that the area through Oryk, their main street, could be improved to make it a safer place. And, of course, as you mentioned, with the school right there and all the school crossings right on the highway, that's of significant concern. And so we actually worked with the school and with the superintendent and talked to the kids and heard about their, transportation plights. And many of them walk. And even the kids who get bused in and out of the area, they get dropped off at the Oryk school and walk home from there. So one way or another, most folks and most kids in Oryk are walking, and so some of the safety issues were the at-grade crossings right at the highway, right where the school is right there. That was of concern. There were some sight distance issues, like at Lundblad Street. A lot of folks said that was a really dangerous area as a driver, but also as, somebody on foot or bicycle or on horse. And then a lot of the kids were using the crossing underneath the bridge and said that was just scary, and they never knew who or what they were going to find under there. And so there was a desire for lighting to be improved or maybe a mural program to be undertaken or just some kind of like landscaping cleanup effort to make it less scary to get under the bridge. That's an alternative to crossing the highway, is to cross under the bridge. And of course, that's a real opportunity point too, because that's where the access to the levee trail is. And that levee trail goes right along Redwood Creek and then goes all the way out to the ocean. And then if you head inland, it goes all the way up to Redwood National Park. And so Oryx becomes a really strategic community in terms of trail access and potential trailhead locations being right in their downtown.
And that's really a good point because, you know, for me, when I think of Oryx, it's pretty much a place that you just pass through on your way to somewhere.
Right.
You know, it's not a destination. It's not a point of origin for trails. So this could really, really help a lot.
It could help a lot. And so, you know, with some investment in the transportation infrastructure, the public infrastructure, that could go a long way in Oryx. And one of the things that I've seen is when some money gets invested in our streets, private business and individuals follow suit. And they see, oh, something can happen here. And we really can spruce this place up and make it safer. And so now we're going to start to reinvest in our properties, in our businesses. And so, you know, this plan that we've laid out for Oryx involves it involves improving the pedestrian, you know, this is code speak, but pedestrian and bicycle facilities, because we've also got the Pacific Coast bike route running right through Oryx down the highway, and there's no bicycle facilities. There's not even a striped bike lane. And so you've got these folks coming down from Canada sometimes, because we talked to some of them, and they're on the route, but there's nothing there for them to suggest there's a trail, that there's a safe space to ride, or that there's even, you know, bicycle services available. And so I think Oryx can really capitalize on its location and proximity to the regional and international trails, as well as the local trails along the levee there.
Now, of course, having a plan is one thing. Of course, the big catch is getting it funded, right?
Yeah, always.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And so one of the things that we did in this plan is to suggest some phase improvements and to kind of bundle it into three phases, because it's true, Cliff. The reality is that this stuff is not going to happen overnight. And so really phase one that we're recommending is to get an actual gateway monument on the south end and the north end of town. And the folks in Oryx said that this was a priority for them. And they want to see some big bronze elk on both sides of the highway, which is not altogether different from what you may see when you come into Oryx with real, live, living, breathing elk.
Oh, almost always.
That might be the best traffic calming in Oryx, are the elk in the roadway.
That's true. Yeah, just nearly every time I go through there, there's almost always elk. It's an amazing, they could have named the community Elk, but I think it's already been taken.
It is. It's already taken.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyhow, they want to see some big bronze elk as gateway features, saying basically, hey, you're entering a community here, and here's what we're all about. And, you know, there's a bear there, so to speak. And this might be a place you'd be interested in. And then along with that in the first phase is to do some just really basic traffic calming things, just slow the traffic down by putting the radar feedback signs that, you know, tell you how fast you're going. And most folks going through Oryx are going way too fast. And when we held our...
You only do that a few times because that's usually get a ticket doing that.
Well, that's a good thing. We saw some crazy motorist behavior when we were up there. We were actually doing a walking audit with the community, and we were out with about 40 people walking through the downtown area. And we saw some people speeding through, you know, passing in the center scramble lane.
Wow.
While there were 40 of us in the street assessing roadway conditions. And we thought, well, there you have it. So,
wow.
And I think the main thing about Oryx, and this is not to say that the people of Oryx have any kind of deficiency, because I find them to be resilient, resourceful, dedicated community members. It's just that the state transportation infrastructure running through the middle of their community is not serving their community that well at this point. And But it's like a speedway. It's really wide. The road going through there, there's like over 100 feet of right-of-way, and really there's 12-foot travel lanes plus a 12-foot turn lane. So that leaves all this empty space on either side for people, for drivers, to have the perception that they can just gun it right through the middle of town.
Well, that's what it looks like. It's a pretty much a straight shot. So it's you feel like you could be going just freeway speeds through there, but the speed limit signs say otherwise.
Exactly. And so what our plan does is it sort of pares that down. It suggests 11-foot travel lanes, which is something that's becoming more and more common. And just even by narrowing those travel lanes down a foot, the prudent driver actually slows down. The research shows that that alone will slow motorists down. What that also does is that frees up a little bit more of the right-of-way for bike lanes and getting those bike lanes striped on either side and getting bike route signs up. And then for sidewalks on either side. And, you know, in rural communities, sidewalks can kind of be a debate. You know, do these things even belong in our North Coast communities? But in the center of a town, right in the downtown area, it's a great place for sidewalks because folks are already walking. And one of the main complaints from the community members in Orrick is that many times of the year, they can't even walk down the street because there's just huge puddles or, you know, lighting deficiencies at night that keep them from feeling safe enough to even walk. And they said, we want this. This is important to our safety, let alone future economic development and, you know, encouraging people to stop and whatnot. But it's just a basic safety issue for them. And then they wanted to see street trees. They wanted to see dark sky friendly lighting. And so we came up with a plan, the really humble version of all of this, very appropriate to Orrick. Nobody's trying to make Orrick eureka. Everybody wants Orrick to still be Orrick, but to have a safer downtown that serves all transportation users.
And a better sense of place as well.
And a better sense of place.
And
yes.
While you're improving those bike lanes along the highway, one thing that Emily and I talked about last week or the week before was because they're looking at doing this down the road for the roadway, the 101 between Eureka and Arcata, is actually painting the shoulder red, so it's so distinctive from the highway. It also slows down traffic and it really makes it look like a place that you're not supposed to be driving a car.
It's true, and that is actually part of our plan for Orrick as well. And I don't know if any of the listeners out there have been along Highway 16 through the Capay Valley. But in Capay, they've done that. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering what that looks like, Caltrans has done that on Highway 16. And I drive differently now, and I was always pretty conscientious about driving through a little rural community, and I think I'm an even better driver now with that extra encouragement of, you know, staying out of the shoulder.
And that's right.
Place for, not for cars.
It's not a separate roadway for bicycles, and really only paint is separating the cars from the bicycles. However, it's a good psychological barrier to have that thing painted red. Most people will not drive on something that big and wide and red. It just looks like a huge keep out sign.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great move. Looking forward to it here, and when it happens in the Orrick area, it should help tremendously.
And one of the things that, you know, in all of these planning processes where communities feel usually left out of, you know, what the roadway is going to look like through their town, how it's really going to affect their kids, their businesses, getting to the post office. And the really exciting thing about more of these transportation, community-based transportation planning projects is that the community is at the core and heart and, you know, of the whole project. And so I just wanted to see if you could speak a little bit about, you know, just like the percentage of people that participated in Orrick and what your process was.
Sure, that's a great question. And I just have to say I admire and appreciate Caltrans for offering this grant program, community-based transportation planning, and they also have an environmental justice grant program. And these programs are meant to fund projects that get the community involved in forming the basis of the plan. And I think it's in response to decades and decades and decades of top-down planning where, you know, the community really truly didn't have any input. And so just a big shout out to Caltrans for keeping that grant program alive, because it makes this type of planning project possible. And so what we did is we wanted to make sure that these ideas came from the community, because, you know, again, we don't want this to be another top-down planning exercise. So we worked with the Orrick Community Service District, the Orrick Economic Development Corporation. We worked with the superintendents of the state and national parks, because they're really important stakeholders and they're, you know, very much involved in the Orrick community. We worked with the Orrick schools, downtown business owners, Chamber of Commerce. And we utilized a community advisory group to kind of help keep our project on track and make sure that, that this project had a very local focus. And so our advisory group told us, we want to have this big event, and I know that you planners and engineers like to call these charrettes. And charrette is a French word that means the little cart. And it's the little cart that everybody throws all their design ideas into. And so it's a cool word, but it confuses the heck out of people. And they say, we're not French. We don't want charrette, charrette. What is this? Call it a design fair, would you? And so that was the first thing our advisory group told us. Okay, it's called the Orrick Design Fair. So the Orrick Design Fair was a 1-week-long series of community workshops that involved a big kickoff evening with a huge community feast. There was local music. Some of the kids had made these amazing videos about life in Orrick and what it's like to live in Orrick and ride their horses and walk on the trails and bike on the trails. And so we showed that just to sort of to feature life in Orrick. And we had close to 150 people show up to the opening night event. And that's amazing, because there's only a few hundred people in Orrick. So really, over the course of the project, we had about a 50% participation rate, which is high. That's really high. And so it was amazing to see all aspects of the community turn out. You know, free food helps, and entertainment and a nice big community event really helps get the turnout. But people stayed. And when it was time to roll out the aerial maps of the project area and have community members and business owners start to kind of design what their future for Orrick would look like, there was some really incredible ideas. And so that is where the ideas for the plan came from. It truly came from the community.
Fantastic. That's great to have that kind of participation.
Well, it's wonderful to have that kind of participation, because you've got community buy-in from the beginning, but there's also something really authentic happening, which is that it's their plan. It's not anything we're telling them, oh, your town would look great if you did this. No, these ideas are coming from them. And the people that live and work in a town are the experts. They have more expertise than any architect or engineer who might come in with a bunch of newfangled ideas. And so really having this come from the bottom up is a key to success for these plans.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it was really wonderful. We had a lot of people participate, and they're excited about it. They're excited about it. And as much as we hope that for Orrick that they can get some federal, you know, transportation enhancement funding, some Caltrans funding, some federal highways funding, it might be a year or two before that happens. And so in the meantime, the community itself has projects that it can work on, cleanup projects, beautification projects. Orrick has a little sort of de facto park, which is, if you can picture, right next to La Hacienda restaurant, there's the flagpole and there's an old redwood
which
flag.
I really miss. I wish that place would reopen. That was so good.
And so that's also an unofficial trailhead to the Levee Trail.
I'd love to see it become a real trailhead.
Could become a real trailhead, and when I go through Orrick, that's the place I stop and get out and stretch my legs and let my four-year-old run around. And so the community had an idea that over time work with the landowners and turn that into more of a community facility and also a visitor's facility. So there are things that Orrick will be able to do itself. Yeah,
that is wonderful. And I wish you the best of luck with all these projects. And you got a plan. That's the first step, is getting a plan, and you've got that. Unfortunately, we are We are out of time at this point. But, Allison, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us this morning and share these plans for ORIC.
Thanks, Emily. You guys keep up the good work. I live in Mendocino County. I'm really inspired with what Humboldt County is doing with trails work.
Wonderful. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you.
And Emily, is there anything that we need to add, or have we wrapped it?
No, I think we've wrapped it. Great focus on the north part of the county.
There you go. All righty. This conversation, as all conversations on Happy Trails, you'll find a podcast shortly at iTunes and at khum.com. Just look up Happy Trails. All right? All right.
Happy Trails to you.